Good morning and welcome to Morning Report. This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, and for the next half hour we will be bringing you news from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, along with other local news sources. Thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. This is Alita with Harry, coming to you live from the Patricia A. Fletcher Studio at Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. And now on the line with us is Bill Ruggiero with today's weather. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Alita. Good morning, Harry. This is Bill Ruggiero giving you the latest weather forecast for today, Tuesday. This is the 4th of August, and we're going to have some nice weather today after some really heavy rains yesterday. When we're not going to see that today. Today's high is going to be in the mid-80s with mostly sunny weather, and it's going to be clear today. No trouble being outside today. It's going to be a little bit less humid today. And then tonight is going to be mostly clear skies. Lows will be in the mid-60s. Now, tomorrow, the humidity comes back, and we do have a slight chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Highs tomorrow in the upper 80s. And then we get into the lower 90s on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it looks like the weekend is very unsettled, with showers and heavy thunderstorms next weekend. It's not going to be a washout, but it could be pouring in some areas, and they'll be scattered about. And then we clear it out next Monday, and nice weather next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. And that's the way I see it. Now back to you.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the weather report.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for always being here. We are supporting you and praying for you during your time of loss. And I hope you have a great day. And please call if you need anything.
I will. Thank you, Harry.
Oh,
very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
All right.
Okay. You have a great day, Bill.
You too.
You going to program today?
No.
Okay. And how was your Chinese dinner last night with your brother?
Oh, it was very good. We talked about my dad, and you know, we had a good good memories of him.
Oh, good. You had the opportunity to share memories.
Yes. And the Red Sox are playing tonight, and that always makes me happy because my dad was a good Red Sox fan.
Okay, good. So we'll be rooting for the Red Sox tonight.
Yes. And Alita, too, right, Alita?
Always, Bill, always.
Okay.
All right, Bill. You have a great day.
Yep. Yeah. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
In today's Telegram and Gazette, we will start with the obituaries. John Cutroni Jr., age 91, of Worcester, died on August 2nd. The services will be August 7th at 10 a.m. at Paradis Givner Funeral Home, with interment at Worcester County Memorial Park. Richard Marson, 90, of Oxford, died on August 1st. Services are August 6th at 11 a.m. at Paradise Givner Funeral Home with interment at North Cemetery. Moving on to our front page news in the Telegram and Gazette. Above the fold, Blanche Scraps Trump's Fund by Melina Kahn, USA Today. Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche said he is rescinding the nearly $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund that stalled a Senate vote on his nomination for Attorney General. Blanche announced the news August 2nd on X. The heavily criticized fund would have compensated allies of President Donald Trump, who say they were unfairly prosecuted during the Biden and Obama presidencies, including those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Senators John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, and Thomas Tillis, Republican of North Carolina, held up Blanche's Attorney General nomination over questions about the future of the fund. Blanche, Trump's former personal attorney, has served as acting attorney general since the president fired Pam Bondi in April. His repeal of the funds helps pave the way for his confirmation in the Senate. The Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled his nomination vote for August 4th, according to Reuters. Worcester may extend school day for elementary students. By Jesse Collings, Worcester T&G. Worcester. The Worcester Public Schools is considering extending the school day for elementary students, according to a report from Superintendent Brian Allen. In his annual self-assessment, published earlier this summer, Allen stated that elementary students may require more time in the school day than currently exists, an aspect of negotiations with the Worcester Teachers Union over the next labor contract. It has become increasingly apparent that there simply isn't enough time in the school day to address learning meaningfully. This area remains under discussion in the current collective bargaining process, Allen wrote. The district said it does not have any further comment on any plans to extend the elementary school day, citing ongoing labor negotiations. Currently, elementary schools in Worcester run for 6 hours and 5 minutes, although start and end times vary between schools. The Springfield Public Schools, the most comparable district in the state to Worcester in terms of size and student demographics, holds elementary school for 6 hours and 40 minutes each day. The elementary school day for Boston Public Schools also runs for 6 hours and 40 minutes. Closer to Worcester, the Wachusett Regional School District has elementary school for 6 hours and 30 minutes. Former Mechanics Hall Executive Director Robert Kennedy dies. By Richard Duckett, Worcester T&G. Worcester. Robert M. Kennedy, who is credited with leading Mechanics Hall with a steady hand while also seeking to bring more diverse audiences to the historic venue as executive director from 2006 until retiring in 2018, died July 25th after a battle with Parkinson's. Mechanics Hall mourned Kennedy's passing on its Facebook page. Bob's leadership, dedication, and commitment to this historic building helped strengthen Mechanics Hall's connection to the Worcester community while preserving its legacy for future generations. We extend our deepest condolences to Bob's family, the statement by Mechanics Hall said. Kennedy, who is also known for his good sense of humor, came to Mechanics Hall from a varied background that included being executive vice president and treasurer of the family-owned former Kennedy Die Casting, Inc. in Worcester. He joked in an interview with the Telegram and Gazette that he was the first mechanic to run Mechanics Hall. He was also a former mathematics teacher at Leicester Middle School, director of human resources for the former Thermalcast LLC, a chairman of the Leicester School Committee, and had leadership positions with several nonprofit organizations, including the YMCA of Greater Worcester. Kennedy lived most of his life in Leicester. Among his survivors, he leaves his wife, Mary, and 2 children. Funeral services are planned for August 4th, with the visiting period beginning 10 a.m. at St. Aloysius St. Jude Church, 489 Pleasant Street, Leicester, followed by a funeral mass at 11 a.m. Burial will be in St. John's Cemetery, Worcester. At the Memorial Home in Worcester is directing funeral arrangements. Sunny Sides Up. By Craig S. Seaman. Worcester. Mike Legere's invitation sounded harmless until you realized that he might completely change the way you look at your lawn. I would like to show off my garden, Legere said. I use all natural things, no fencing, old techniques like hergelkultures. My undergraduate degree is in biology. I've created a whole diverse ecosystem. Legere is a big proponent of pollinators and a strong believer in providing places where insects, notably bees, can do their thing. Just think how we're sitting down here. Sometimes a bug will need a chance to chill, Legere said. Vincent van Gogh would have loved Legere's garden, which is on Tuxedo Road near Indian Hill Park. This sweeping lawn features row upon row of majestic sunflowers, each with its own circle of vibrant yellow petals reaching to the sky. Legere said he grew up in a family where, on his father's side, every generation served in the military, dating to the Revolution. He is proud that he also served, although it left him handicapped. I have disabled veteran plates on my truck, sadly, because of active duty injuries, Legere said. I did 12 years as an Army medic. Oh, I loved it. I would do it again. After getting his bachelor's degree in biology from Framingham State University, Legere, who grew up in Clinton and has been living in Worcester since 2017, designed the garden that now consumes most of his front yard for a project towards a master's degree in architectural landscaping that he's pursuing at Boston Architectural College. Legere said he's been growing his garden for 5 years now. He doesn't mind if the public comes to see his progress. In addition to an abundance of different kinds of sunflowers, Legere's garden has blanket flowers, black cherry tomatoes, brown-eyed Susans, carrots, corn, cornflower, flowers, a fast-growing dawn redwood tree, luffa sponges, marigolds, humble potatoes, spaghetti squash, tiger lilies, and zinnias. I've tried to go pretty much at least 70% native species, Legere said, and I try to do things that pollinators love. A critic of well-groomed lawns typical of suburbia, Legere said that his pro-wilderness stance started out of procrastination. So essentially, this was all born out of me not wanting to mow that slope of land right there, Legere said, pointing to his front yard. I've been doing research, and essentially, lawns, grass, they're ecological deserts. They don't really serve any purpose. Legere partially blames well-manicured lawns for the downfall of fireflies that are not as abundant as many of us remember from our youth. Fireflies require long grasses to breed, and oftentimes different grasses. When people are always mowing their lawns and mowing everything down and not letting it grow naturally and have plants, fireflies don't have a place to breed, Legere said. I actually keep the grass long over there, and the fireflies actually breed. I can see them at night, which is beautiful. It's something I always used to grow up with. Neighbors like it. Neighbor Mike Halloran, who lives across the street from Legere, said he's a big fan of the garden. Liza Summers was taking her 12-year-old Labrador for a daily walk. I think the flowers are really nice, she said. He does an amazing job every year. Legere also said he did his garden for his own mental health. Sometimes it's nice, this kind of low impact when I'm putzing around my garden, Legere said. It might sound hokey, but I'm saving the world in a small little way. We'll take a break and be back with more news.
People with disabilities adapt on a daily basis. They're people you want on your team. And we're here to help you find blind and visually impaired professionals to help you reach your organizational goals. Building an inclusive workforce where individuals with disabilities are welcome is possible thanks to Mass Commission for the Blind. Partner with them to hire individuals who are blind or visually impaired and reach your workforce goals. The success of your organization depends on the diversity of your team. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB to learn how you can become an employer partner for the blindness community. That's 1-800-392-6450 or mass.gov/MCB.
You are listening to Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal. Today is Tuesday, August 4th. In local news, David Webb found guilty of trespassing by Craig S. Seaman, Worcester TNG. Worcester, David T. Webb, the activist accused of flying a drone over the crowd outside City Hall after being slapped with a no trespass order, was found guilty of trespassing during a jury waived trial at Central District Court. Judge Michael Welsh issued his ruling after a morning of testimony Monday, August 3rd. Webb was sentenced to 30 days time served. Webb was found not guilty on two other counts of disturbing the peace and disorderly conduct. Samantha Beauchamp, Webb's lawyer, said her client plans to appeal the ruling. During the morning trial, three witnesses were called by the prosecutors. Worcester City Solicitor Alexandra Kalkunis, Worcester Police Officer Adam B. Thay, and Aaron Gagne, a security guard at City Hall. Webb waived his right to a six-member jury trial. Webb was given a no trespass order May 25, 2025, barring him from being in or around City Hall. The order alleged criminal harassment of city employees that made them feel uneasy and fearful. In court, Gagne, the security guard, said that September 5, 2025, he saw a drone approximately 4 inches square hovering 5 feet above a crowd gathered at the Pride flag-raising event at City Hall. Gagne said he positively identified the drone operator as Webb, whose no trespass order prohibits him from accessing City Hall, its offices, and adjacent arteries, including the parking garages, porticos, entryways, stairways, plazas, and surrounding sidewalks. Gagne said Webb could also be heard yelling at the event. Gagne said he was concerned for the public safety, noticing that the drone's low altitude and erratic movement could result in a crash into the crowd. Beauchamp argued Webb never physically entered City Hall property and that operating the drone did not violate the no trespass order. She also argued that flying a drone falls under FAA rules and regulations and the state cannot enforce FAA guidelines. Assistant District Attorney Jennifer Grieco countered that FAA guidelines were not relevant. She maintains that operating the drone in the area covered by the order was grounds for trespassing because the drone was an extension of Welsh's physical presence. Welsh agreed with Grieco's assessment, finding that the drone became an extension of Webb as he controlled its movements. In a separate matter, Webb, a frequent critic of the police, was ordered jailed without bail for up to 3 months, stemming from a June 15th incident when he flew a drone low over Polar Park doing a closed session police mass casualty training event. Authorities allege, forcing organizers to investigate. Police charged Webb with disturbing the peace and disorderly conduct, and a judge, over his objections, revoked bail he had granted in open cases, including a June 10th arrest in which police had accused him of interfering with public safety. One killed, two injured in crash on Route 146 in Uxbridge. By Henry Schwamm, Worcester TNG. Uxbridge. The investigation continues into what caused a crash that killed a Rhode Island man Saturday night, August 1st, on the southbound side of Route 146, according to a Monday, August 3rd update from State Police spokesperson. The victim's name hasn't been released. He was thrown from his Honda Accord at the time of the crash at approximately 10:48 p.m. and was taken to a local hospital, where he was later pronounced dead. The driver and a passenger in a Tesla were taken to a hospital with injuries that are not believed to be life-threatening, state police said. The investigation is led by state police and Worcester District Attorney's Office. Route 146 was cleared at 2 a.m. on Sunday, August 2nd. We'll take a brief break and be back with more news.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Ruggiero. Join me for my live weather reports, heard every weekday mornings on The Morning Report, right here on Audio Journal. Get your first forecast without waiting for a forecaster. That's The Morning Report, heard every weekday mornings from 7:30 a.m. to 8 a.m., only from Audio Journal, part of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
You are listening to Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal. In more local news, Halligan's owners say new owners will keep bar open. By Kinga Barandi, Worcester T&G. The owners of Halligan's Bar and Function Hall, a live music venue and function hall at 889 Southbridge Street in Auburn, posted on their Facebook page that their landlord has found a buyer for the establishment. The new owners, who will take over in the new year and also own Days End Tavern in Oxford, are Dan Raymond and Mike and Katie Langway, according to the post. The information generated hundreds of congratulatory comments. The post said musical acts booked to appear at the location through the fall and winter will proceed as planned. New bookings will also be possible. The news came less than 2 weeks after the bar's owners announced that they had made the decision to retire and close the bar at the end of the year. In other local news, heavy rains drench Leominster, but repeat of 2023 floods averted. By Worcester T&G. Leominster dodged a weather bullet. The city, along with Fitchburg and Gardner, had been under a flash flood warning until 10 a.m. Monday, August 3rd. Mayor Dean Mazzarella told the Telegram and Gazette that if his city had received another quarter inch of rain, it might have faced a repeat of the devastating floods that crippled the city in September 2023. The deluge dumped nearly 10 inches of rain and caused close to $40 million in damages. The rain stopped at exactly the time it needed to stop, said Mazzarella of the August 3rd rainstorm. Two areas of the city remain closed as of 10:30 a.m. due to flooding, including a section of Granite Street behind Leominster High School and the area of Hillary Road and West Street, where Mazzarella said the flooding was subsiding. To hammer home the flood's impact, Mazzarella noted that the Manoosnock Brook, which had extremely low water levels due to the ongoing drought, was gushing with rainwater August 3rd. The water's power was so strong that it carried pipes stacked on land for a drainage project and sent them into the brook. "We have crews out and extra people know the drill," Mazzarella said. "We have a lot of basements flooded." Excuse me again. "We have the Mass Department of Transportation, which reported that Merriam Avenue was closed at the Route 2 interchange in Leominster and Fitchburg due to roadway flooding. Meanwhile, Route 2 had been reduced to one lane in each direction." The closures were expected to remain in place for some duration. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation said drivers who are traveling through affected areas should expect delays, reduce speed, and use caution. Worcester marks 81st anniversary of bombing. By Richard Duckett, Worcester T&G. Worcester. The Hiroshima commemoration from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on Thursday, August 6th at Elm Park will mark the 81st anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima in Japan during World War II. The event is presented by the Center for Nonviolent Solutions, and the program will include the Worcester Peace Choir, Mountain River Taiko, a multi-generational Japanese drumming ensemble, and a traditional lantern floating ceremony. Worcester Mayor Joseph M. Petty and State Senator Robin Kennedy are also scheduled to participate, and the mayor of Hiroshima will share a peace message. The Reverend Aaron R. Payson of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Worcester will offer an ecumenical prayer. In case of rain, the event will be held inside the Phelan Center at Blessed Sacrament Church at 551 Pleasant Street in Worcester. Pardon me. Park Avenue, latest area to be treated for West Nile virus. Worcester T&G. Worcester, an area west of Park Avenue will be treated with pesticides after a West Nile virus was discovered in mosquitoes. The city's West Nile virus risk level has been elevated to moderate, according to the city. The treatment will take place Tuesday, August 4th, west of Park Avenue, between May and Maywood Streets, including Englewood Avenue. No human cases have been reported in Worcester, according to the city. And that's it for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day filled with hope and joy. You've been listening to Morning Report, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Hello, sports fans. Did you know that Audio Journal has a weekly one-hour program that features news and inspiring stories about disabled and visually impaired folks participating in sports at the local, national, and international level? That's AJ Sports Page. Tune in on Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. That's AJ Sports Page, airing every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Archived episodes are available on demand on our website, www.audiojournal.org. That's AJ Sports Page, a production of Audio Journal. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
Did you know ADA paratransit riders in Worcester, Auburn, Boylston, Leicester, Northboro, Oxford, Westboro, and West Boylston now have the option to schedule trips through the Worcester Regional Transit Authority's new online reservation system? Call customer service at 508-791-9782 or email paratransit@therta.com to begin scheduling your trip online.
Are you or a loved one experiencing vision loss? Unable to read your daily newspapers? Feeling isolated because of blindness? If the answer is yes, Audio Journal can help. Live broadcasts of newspapers and other local publications enable blind, visually impaired, and print-disabled residents of Worcester County to connect with their communities. Newspaper readings, informative programming, education, and entertainment return you to the printed word your vision loss has denied you. For information about Audio Journal's free service, call 508-797-1117. Again, the number is 508-797-1117 or email info@audiojournal.org or go to our website at www.audiojournal.org. Audio Journal is a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.